of the day and to be aware of the Holy Spirit's presence among us. Let us pray. We are forever thankful, O God, for your presence, for your goodness, and for your grace. Pour your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray, as we hear your word spoken. Open our eyes so that we may see you. Open our ears so that we may hear you. Open our hearts so that we may know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear these words from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If my family had a slogan or a tagline or even t-shirts, it likely would say, "Have wheels, must travel." Our 2008 gray SUV knows the road well. One summer, a few years ago, we traveled over 7,200 road miles from May to August, traveling north to our summer cottage in northwest Ontario, south to Des Moines and to Iowa City, and that doesn't even count the plane ride to LA. That summer, I remember, as we were crossing over the Minnesota border into Iowa, and we saw the Iowa sign, my children in the back screamed with joy. We were home, back in Iowa. My boys know the vehicle well, and honestly, they do pretty well. They stare out the window, on occasion they nap, they watch movies, they play on their iPads. My youngest said this is his favorite time of the day. And why do you like to travel? Because I get to do nothing. We play ABC road games, we sing songs at the top of our lungs. Our cottage is right over the Canadian border, so it's about 9 hours away, one way. One summer we took 6 trips up and back. We have plenty of bonding time. As much as we are on the road, you would think that my boys won't ask the question. You know it. If you have children or ever been in a car with children for any amount of time, you probably have heard the question too, are we there yet? In fact, on my way from Orange City to Sioux Center this evening, my children were in the car, and my son asked, "How many more minutes, Mom?" He has no concept of time. 30, 40, 60? No, about 15. Oh, that's not so bad. My response usually when we get about hour 6 is to hold the steering wheel tight, smile, maybe roll my eyes, he can't see me, and a somewhat calm response say, "No, we're not there yet." No, we are not lost. And yes, I know where I'm going. And for a few minutes, I've appeased my anxious passenger in the back seat until the question comes again. Sometimes we just need to hear it to believe it. It was kind of like with those who followed Jesus, people who had followed him and heard him teach and watched him heal, and they just had to ask one more time. So there they were on that day, the time of celebration of the renewal and dedication of the temple. And Jesus was pacing in the outer courts of the temple, and as Jesus walked, the Jews asked him, as if they've been in the car for hours, "Jesus, how long will you keep us in suspense? Tell us plainly, as if you've never told us before, tell us, are you the Messiah, the Son of God?" Sometimes we must hear it to believe it. Sometimes it seems like we need to hear it over and over again. And Jesus responds, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The work that I do in my Father's name, testify to me, but you do not believe. You do not belong to the sheep." Sometimes we can feel like the inquiring Jews, though. We have to be told again and again about Jesus' reign in our own life. We ask, "Jesus, I know that you have healed people in the past, but are you really going to heal me from my pain? Or Jesus, I know that you've taught about the love of the Father, but do you really love me? Or Jesus, I know you died on the cross for all of my sins, but what about that one time?" Sometimes our faith does not come easy. I think we're all like this, or maybe it's just me. We all wonder and doubt the faith we have in Jesus Christ. We wonder if we are really good enough to enter into the kingdom of heaven. We wonder if we really deserve to be in the presence of God. We wonder if we really can be called the child of the one who saves. And perhaps sometimes, deep within us, we wonder if Jesus is the one that we should really follow. Are we in the flock, or are we outside of it? Sometimes, we have to have faith to believe. If we can have even a little faith, we can learn to follow. We ask, "Jesus, are you my shepherd? Are you the one that I should follow?" And Jesus continues, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Now, clearly, we are the flock. Most of us attend church Sunday after Sunday. Some of us even attend twice in one day. We know our Bible passages. We talk about Jesus week after week in Sunday school. We are baptized. We baptize our children. We say the creeds. We know who Jesus is. If we are not the sheep, then who is? We hear his voice. He knows us, and we follow him. And he gives us eternal life, and we shall not perish. And no one shall snatch us from his hand. This is the Lord's flock, and we believe because we belong to his sheep. Sometimes we need a little faith to believe before we can follow. So I grew up in Hall, not that far from here, and I was a town kid. My house was just on the north end of Hall, right on the edge. Because I didn't grow up on a farm, I claim absolutely no expertise of any animal of any kind. Maybe perhaps my golden retriever, but that's about it. However, because both my parents grew up on a farm, one near Morris and one near Carmel, my dad wanted his children to have at least some interaction with what it would be like to live on the farm. So we joined 4-H. In anticipation for the Sioux County Fair, each summer my brother and I would ride our bikes south of Hall to a farm, preparing to show one of the Holstein calves at the fair. Up and down the driveway, we would walk on Willie Meyer's farm, preparing the calf for the fair. We had to know that calf, and that calf needed to know me. And for some reason, I always named my calves Daisy. No sense. I can recall one summer when it came down to it and August arrived, because that's when the fair was then, the calf didn't actually know me as well as I thought. The calf had absolutely no interest in being led around in a circle in a barn with a bunch of other calves. I pulled, I yanked, I pushed, I might have even cried. And that calf would not move. In the long run, that calf had absolutely no idea who I was and why she was there. If I would have called out that calf in a crowd of calves, Daisy, the calf's head wouldn't have perked up. If I wanted to leave that calf around for hours, that calf would have never even considered it. That animal didn't care. Now, of course, it is quite insulting to refer to us as calves. No, we're sheep. And who wants to be a sheep? Sheep are not smart. Sheep smell. What good are sheep? But sheep like security and continuity. Sheep like to be led and not pushed. And when their leader, their good shepherd, enters the area, they know what to do. They follow the good shepherd. And the sheep have faith in that shepherd, unlike that calf having any faith in me. Sometimes we need to have even a small amount of faith to believe before we can follow. Listen to what Jesus said. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them up and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not know the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. In the chaos of life, it can be easy to forget who our good shepherd is. It can be easy to follow the hired hand. It can be so easy to not really care about who we are following. It can be easy to forget who Jesus really is in our lives. Sometimes we just need to hear it. Sometimes we need faith to believe. Sometimes we just need to follow to believe. In most cases, believers believe like we believe, great on some days and pitiful on others, with faith enough to move mountains on some occasions and not enough to get out of bed on other days. Some of the time, the best we can do is live as if it were all true and simply just follow the good shepherd. I can remember a time in my life when I was living in what John of the Cross would call a dark night of the soul. And as much as I longed to hear Jesus' voice, it felt as though that my ears were deaf to it. And a wise friend said, continue to go to worship, continue to seek God. Allow those around you, as you live in your darkness, to sing the hymns of God for you. Sometimes we just need to follow to believe. Faith, in Hebrews says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not Eugene Peterson's The Message put it this way: the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we cannot see. And the Good Shepherd calls us by name. The Good Shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, will never let you go. The Good Shepherd always protects and always guides. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands. Sometimes we need to be reminded of whose we are over and over again. 10 years ago, I was asked to lead a funeral of a young 8-year-old boy who had died tragically in a car accident. What do you say in a moment like that? What words of assurance can you utter in the midst of such grief and such heartache? There are often no words except just to return to what we know, to remind ourselves and those around us over and over again of the Good Shepherd. Because sometimes in the midst of our heartache, in the midst of our grief, and in the midst of great doubt, we simply just need to hear the words of the familiar, to be reminded once again of the love of God our Father. So on that summer day, we gathered in the sanctuary, a sanctuary, a place where we find peace and a safe haven. Those who grieved sat in the front, and those who grieved for those who were grieving joined along with them. And during the funeral, we gathered around the communion table. My colleague Harlan and I, before the service started, we put on our clergy robes. And I put on my stole, this one actually, of the children, because I needed to be reminded that day who my good shepherd was too. And we invited the children up around the communion table. The communion table, where we are reminded of the new and eternal covenant of grace and reconciliation, that we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken by him. We gather at this table, the little children, one by one, to be reminded of the promise of Christ, that Christ will be with us always, even to the end of the world. And we gathered around the table to come in hope, believing that this bread and this cup are the pledge and foretaste of the feast of love. And then we peeked in to the mystery of faith. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was. So one day they simply had to ask him. And he said, I am the good shepherd. I know each one of my sheep by name. They know the sound of my voice, so when I call my sheep, they follow me. They follow me in front. I walk in front of the sheep to show them the way, and I show them the way to the good green grass I show them the way to the cool, clear water. And when there are places of danger, I show them the way to pass through so they can come safely home. I wonder if these sheep have names. I wonder if these sheep are in a happy place. I wonder how many sheep live in this place. I wonder if you have ever been in places of danger. I wonder how the sheep feel about the Good Shepherd. I wonder how the Good Shepherd feels about the sheep. Sometimes we need to hear it again to help us to believe again. What is your only comfort in life and in death? What is your only comfort in a life that seems so uncertain? When you ask, how long will you keep us in suspense? Tell us plainly, are you the Messiah? My comfort, that I am not only my own, but belong body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ has fully paid for all of my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of the Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, he assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Oh, Good Shepherd, come quickly. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O faithful one, we thank and praise you for your never-ending protection and guidance and leading in our lives. Move us, O God, to follow your voice. In your name we pray, amen.